Now, he's adorable, but he's incapable of commitment. What he loves is novelty. New cities, new ideas, boom, boom, boom. Right now, you're the latest novelty, but before long... I remember Alex on the office roof, darting about, enthusing about virtual experiences as if they were the real thing. Then I thrust that thought from my mind, because it's irrelevant. Look, Demeter, it's fine, I say as robustly as I can. It isn't serious. I don't expect it to go anywhere. It's just a bit of, you know, fun. Well, as long as that's all it is, Demeter eyes me doubtfully. But I've known a lot of his girlfriends, and I've seen a lot of broken hearts. You know his nickname? It's One-Way Alex. Because once he's off, he doesn't come back. He's like a one-way ticket round the world. Never touches the same ground twice. I've seen bright, intelligent girls waiting and hoping. She shakes her head. They know deep down he'll never come back. So, why do they hope? I can't help asking. Because it's human nature to hope for impossible things. She eyes me shrewdly. You're in marketing. You know that. Well, don't worry. I tear my gaze away from hers. I have no expectations or hopes or anything. Like I say, it's just a bit of fun. Fun. Okay, she nods once, then looks at her watch. I better get back to Hal and Coco. See you in the morning. Thanks, Katie. She stands up, then comes over and kisses me on the cheek. As she does, there's a knock on the kitchen door. Hi, says Alex, coming in. Oh. Hi, Demeter. Hello, Alex. She shoots him a mistrustful look. What do you want? Came to see Katie. His eyes meet mine, and the intent in them is so visceral, I catch my breath. I have an immediate flashback to the meadow. For a moment, I can't quite speak for lust. Hi, I manage. Are you okay? Fine. My whole body is quivering, wanting a whole delicious, uninterrupted night with this man who turns me to jelly. I want his touch, but I want his voice, too, his thoughts and his jokes, his worries and sadnesses, his theories and wonderings, all the secret parts of him that I never guessed existed. Well, I'll let you get on with it, says Demeter, standing up. Whatever you're up to. And she shoots such a reproving glance at Alex, I almost want to giggle. Demeter, it's fine, I say as she reaches the door. Really? What you said just now? I gesture surreptitiously at my heart. I won't. But Demeter shakes her head wryly. You think you won't? Chapter 20. At about 6 o'clock in the morning, I nudge Alex's bare calf with my foot. Hey, you, I say. City boy? We haven't really slept all night. We've just dozed and laughed and devoured each other in a bubble of him and me and nothing else. But now the birds are chattering and sun is filtering past my curtains and real life begins again. Hmm, he murmurs, only half waking up. You need to go and sleep in your bed. What? Alex turns a rumpled face to me. Are you chucking me out? Biddy will be really upset if you don't. You're her first customer. Go and try it out, at least. And anyway, you don't want to use my shower. It's like a dribble. In a minute, says Alex, sucking the bare skin of my shoulder, pulling me toward him, and I succumb because I can't not. He's like some magnetic force that just drags me in. But then a while later, when we're both sated, and I'm wondering belatedly if we were a bit noisy, I give him a firmer kick. Go on. Be a good B&B customer. I'll see you at breakfast. All right. He rolls his eyes and pushes back the duvet. I think it was the description of my shower as a dribble that tipped the balance. He strikes me as a guy who might have quite uncompromising shower standards. See you at breakfast, then, he says, heading to the door in boxer shorts, which isn't very discreet, but if he bumps into Biddy, he can always say, oh, whatever. He can say what he likes. She's not stupid. I wait until I'm sure he's gone before I move. Then I leap out of bed and take my puny shower. I yank on some jeans and a top and creep out of the house in the other direction. I hurry over the dew-laden grass to Demeter's yurt, say, Knock, knock, and let myself in. Demeter is sitting up in her wooden ancestor's farm bed, wearing pale grey marl pyjamas and one of our alpaca blankets round her shoulders. She's sipping from a water bottle and tapping feverishly at her laptop. "Okay," she says, as though we're seamlessly continuing the conversation from last night. "I've remembered something. There's a whole stack of email printouts in my office." "In your office?" I think doubtfully back to the piles of paper on Demeter's floor. "But won't Sarah have gone through those and thrown out anything incriminating?" "Not the ones in the cupboard," Demeter looks up with a glint. "The ones she doesn't know about."
"Doesn't know about?"
I echo in blank astonishment. "There's something in Demeter's life that Sarah doesn't know about." "She got so cross at me for printing out emails that I used to do it secretly, and then I put them all in that big cupboard. There must be hundreds in there. The cupboard's locked," she pauses. "And I've got the key, here on my key ring."
"Hundreds," I stare at her.
"Why did you keep hundreds of email printouts?"
"Don't you start," says Demeter defensively. "I suppose I thought I might need them one day."
"Well," I say after a pause.
"You did?"
"Yes," says Demeter dryly. "Turns out I did." She meets my eye and I feel a sudden rise of confidence, a conviction. She's bloody well going to win this. Demeter taps again at her computer and I can see her eyes teeming with ideas again. Ideas and anger.
"You seem different this morning," I say tentatively. "You seem like... you want it."
"Oh, I want it," says Demeter. And there's a steeliness to her that makes me want to cheer. The strong, determined woman I know is back.
"I don't know what got into me last night, but I woke up today and I thought..."
"What?"
"Exactly," I nod.
"What?" "I am not being fucked over by my own fucking assistant. Hear, hear. The only thing which has come to me..." She pauses and rubs her brow. "I think Sarah must have teamed up with someone else. Some of that information she played around with came from meetings she didn't attend."
"Right," I say after a pause. My mind is already working round the possibilities. "So, who do you think?"
"Rosa," says Demeter flatly. "Has to be."
"Or Mark," I say.
"Right," Demeter winces.
"Or Mark, equally likely. Any other contenders?"
I'm not being very tactful here, I suddenly realize. It can't be much fun to think there are so many people out to get you.
"Look, don't think about that," I say hastily.
"Whoever it was, we'll find out. But now, we need to work out a plan."
Demeter and I march into breakfast half an hour later, side by side. We have a strategy worked out, and now we just need to find Alex, which isn't hard to do as he's sitting at the kitchen table, looking a bit shell-shocked while Biddy piles mushrooms onto his plate. A plate which already holds 3 sausages, 4 rashers of bacon, 2 fried eggs, 2 tomatoes, and some of Biddy's famous fried bread, which, honestly, is heaven, if heaven had 400 calories a slice.
"That's wonderful," Alex gulps. "That's plenty."
"No," he almost yelps as Biddy advances with the other frying pan.
"No more bacon, thanks."
"So as I say, Alex," Dad seems to be concluding a conversation,
"it's a one-off opportunity, which an astute businessman like yourself will be quick to spot. Anyway," he darts a shifty look at me and crunches a piece of toast, "we'll leave that subject for now. HB Source, Alex?"
"What opportunity?" I say warily.
"Nothing," says Dad, with a guileless smile. "Just chin-wagging with Alex here, passing the time of day."
"Are you trying to sell him something?" I glare at him.
"Because don't. Your dad was interesting me in a wigwam venture," says Alex with a straight face.
"Wigwam venture," I echo, thunderstruck.
"Dad, what are you on?"
"Trying to expand the franchise," says Dad defensively. "If you stand still, you go backward, love. There's a site over by Old Elmford. Dave Yarnick can get us some wigwams."
I shake my head in despair. "I thought I'd weaned you off buying tents from Dave Yarnett."
"I could be Big Chief Mick,"
Dad makes a Native American type sign.
"The kiddies would love it."
"Dad, stop right there. We're not buying wigwams, and you're not dressing up as a Native American." I wonder whether to launch into a lecture about political correctness, but decide against it. Not the right time. "For so many reasons," I conclude,
And anyway, we need to talk to Alex, so could you possibly... I gesture at him to move, and Dad shifts along the table. Can you stop the other glampers coming in? I add to Biddy. We just need 5 minutes. Morning, Alex, says Demeter, and takes a seat opposite him. She's got a crisp white shirt on today, and her hair is glossy. She blow-dried it in my room, and she looks calm and focused and on it. Morning. Alex doesn't seem particularly keen to have her sitting opposite him. Look, Demeter, there's no rush. We can do this later. I need another day, Demeter cuts him off. Give me one day. Oh, bloody hell.
Alex looks balefully at her, and then me.
I knew you were hatching something. One day, I back her up. That's all, it's nothing. I can't give you one day, he snaps. I've already told Adrian that I've broken the news to you. We haven't had a meeting, shoots back Demeter. You haven't explained my employment rights. Nothing's official. You can give me one more day. You have to. Yes, you have to, I affirm. Or else. Alex darts a suspicious glance at me. Or else what? Or else you'll be a wanker. Sorry, Dad, I add. You go for it, Katie, my love, Dad waves his toast cheerily. Give him all you've got. This is my livelihood, says Demeter evenly, and it's not going to be finished off like this. After all the chances I gave you, Alex, all the support I gave you, you owe me more than that, and you know it. She sounds scathing, almost contemptuous. For a moment no one breathes. I can tell from Alex's flickering eyes that she's got to him. He's thinking, thinking. Then, breaking the spell, he sighs. Okay, suppose you had one more day. He shrugs as though to say, what then? There are more email printouts in the office. Hundreds of them stashed away in my cupboard. Demeter places her hands on the table like a politician. Let me look through them. Alex shakes his head. Demeter, you won't be able to step into that office without Adrian being all over you. He'll march you into talent management on the spot, and you'll be out before you can draw breath.
We've thought of that, I say. I'll do it. I'll pretend I came back for something. No one will suspect me.
I'll give her the key to the cupboard. Demeter produces her key ring and dangles it. I'll write some letter allowing her in. Predate it. I mean, who's going to stop Katie going in? That might work, Alex allows.
It will work. Muffins?
Biddy comes bustling over to the table, holding a basket of muffins. I've got bran, apple, blueberry.
Alex!
She looks in disappointment at his plate. You're not eating. I am, Alex says hastily, and shovels a load of food into his mouth. He sits back, chewing, then shakes his head. Here's the other thing. Adrian's expecting to hear from me that I've finished the process this morning. Done everything properly. Case closed.
Well, fob him off, says Demeter impatiently.
How?
Be out of signal. All day. Or... send him an email. Give him some excuse.
What excuse?
I don't know, snaps Demeter. Be inventive. Isn't that your strong suit?
Excuse me, overhearing, says Biddy with a beam, but would you like some help? Both Demeter and Alex stare up at Biddy as though the teapot has suddenly begun to speak.
Well, says Demeter politely, I'm not sure how you could help, Biddy. Obviously, if you could keep my boss off my back for a day, then I'd be very grateful.
She gives a short laugh. Alex nods. So would I.
Easy, says Biddy. Do you have his number?
Alex darts a startled glance at Demeter. Then a wicked smile spreads over his face, and he holds out his phone to Biddy.
Here's his mobile number, but he'll still be at home.
Even better, Biddy twinkles at him. We'll catch him off guard. Oh, she adds to Demeter. He knows your married name is Wilton, doesn't he?
Yes. Demeter looks intrigued.
Good.
We all watch, agog as Biddy dials the number and draws breath.
Hello, she says. Is that Adrian?
It's Biddy here, the farmer's wife from Anstis Farm in Somerset. She's making her vowels creamier than usual, I realize, just like I did.
I'm very sorry to say, sir, both Mrs. Wilton and Mr. Starless are terrible ill.
Terrible ill.
I can hear some sort of exclamation coming from the other end of the line, to which Biddy listens peaceably.
Terrible poorly, she reiterates.
Yes, it's been quite a night here, sir, with both of them suffering like poor loves, so they asked me to let you know.
There's another outburst at the other end, and Biddy winks at us.
Oh, no, sir, she says calmly. There's no chance of them coming to the phone. Although, she adds brightly, I've a message for you. Mr. Starless asked me to pass on that what with him being so poorly and all, he hasn't quite finished the job that he came here to do.
She listens placidly to another eruption from Adrian.
That's right. Not quite finished, but he'll get to it as soon as he can. Whatever it is, she adds innocently.
I glance at Alex. He's slowly shaking his head, looking both outraged and on the verge of laughter.
Such a shame, Biddy continues. And on their holiday, too. Anyway, they're best off in bed, and I'm calling the doctor later. Shall I send them both your best regards? Any flowers at all, sir? A Somerset bouquet for each of them?
She listens again and then rings off. He sends his love, she says with a twinkle, and hands the phone back to Alex.
Biddy, you're incredible, says Alex, lifting his hand to high-five her, and I feel a glow of pride.
Then he turns to Demeter and gives her a wry shrug.
Okay. Well, there it is. You've got your day.
Chapter 21 I'd forgotten the smell of London. The busyness, the crowds. I'd forgotten about coming up out of the tube steps into the hot, concentrated city sunshine, surrounded by people of all descriptions, and thinking, I could do anything, go anywhere, be anyone. Anser's Farm is like a circle. It is what it is, and you basically go round and round in a peaceful way, never digressing. But London's like a spider web. There's a million possibilities, a million directions, a million end games. I'd forgotten that feeling of what? Being on the brink of something. And right now I could not feel more brinksman-like. It's all down to me, Katie Brenner. As I turn my steps toward the Cooper Clemo offices, nerves are gnawing at my stomach, but I firmly tell them to pipe down. Demeter and Alex aren't with me. They've stationed themselves at a cafe, 2 tube stops away, because the last thing they wanted was to run into Adrian. But they're on the phone. We're all in contact, constantly, as though reading my mind, Demeter texts me. There yet? Kiss. I pause and send back a reply. Nearly. All good. Kiss. As I push my way through the big glass doors, Jade on reception looks up in surprise.
Oh, hi, she says. It's Kat, innit? Didn't you...
Leave? Yes, I nod, but I've got to pop upstairs, if that's okay. I left some stuff at the office and I never picked it up, so, you know, I thought I'd pop by. Oh, God, I'm starting to gabble with nerves. Jade nods.
Fine.
I've got a letter from Demeter giving me permission, I blurt out before I can stop myself.
I said it's fine.
Jade gives me an odd look, scribbles a visitor pass, and presses the button to open the barrier. Okay, first hurdle over. As I get into the lift, I'm prickling with apprehension, but there's no one else in it, and I make it to our floor safely. As I walk along the familiar corridor, I feel a bit surreal. It's all the same as it was. The same black shiny floor, the same crack in the wall as you pass the men's, the same distinct smell of coffee and floor cleaner and fresh and breezy home scent diffusers. They used to keep sending us freebies, which Sarah would put out. Guess they still do. And then there I am, in our office space. It's just as it ever was, with the distressed brick wall and white desks and the naked man coat stand, although there's a new red coffee machine in the corner, with a stack of coffee-white sachets on top. I glance over at my desk, but it isn't there anymore. They've moved them all around. There's no trace that I ever sat there. The office is pretty empty. There's no Rosa, no Flora, no Marg, no Liz, and Sarah isn't at her desk either, thank God. I timed my arrival carefully for 1:15 p.m., as I know she's usually at lunch then, but it's still a major relief. Hannah is sitting at her desk, and looks up as I enter.
Oh, hi, she blinks at me through her glasses. Wow, Kat, how are you?
Fine, I nod. How are you?
Oh, fine. All good, she looks around. A lot of people are out at lunch, I'm afraid. You've missed them.
Not to worry, I hesitate, then add nonchalantly, "Actually, I just need to pick some stuff up from Demeter's office. I left it and she held on to it for me."
"Oh, right," Hannah nods, totally accepting this story. "Well, I'll say hi from you, shall I?"
"Yes, do."
"Okay. It must be weird for you being back here," she adds as though the thought has just occurred to her.
"Yes," I force a smile. "It is." "It's more than weird. It's freaking me out a bit. I'm unnerved by my own reaction. I thought I'd be fine coming back. I thought I'd got past it. But now, standing here, it's as if the last few months have concertinaed into nothing. And the hurt is as fresh as ever."
As I survey the empty office, it suddenly hits me. It's Wednesday. Flora, Rosa, and Sarah will be at their drinks at the Blue Bear. The fun, cool gang drinks I would have gone to if I'd stayed. It seems like a lifetime ago now.
"So, have you got another job?"
Hannah's voice breaks into my thoughts.
"No."
"Oh. Do you still live in Catford?"
"No. I had to move home."
"Oh, bummer,"
says Hannah, looking awkward.
"I'm really sorry. I mean, I'm sure you'll get another job. Have you applied for any?"
This is such an inane question. I think even Hannah realizes it, and she blushes.
"I'll get my stuff," I say, letting her off the hook. "Nice to see you."
As I head into Demeter's office, I check back, and Hannah is already engrossed in her work again. She's obviously not remotely curious about what I'm up to, and neither is John, who's sitting way over in the corner. I never really got to know him. Trying to look natural, I head to the cupboard. This should take 30 seconds, tops. Pile the email printouts into a bag. Don't bother checking them out, just get them and go. I unfold the big laundry bag I brought and place it on the floor. I take out Demeter's keyring, quietly unlock the door and swing it open, ready to scoop piles of paper out. The cupboard's empty. For a moment, I can't actually compute what I'm seeing. I had such a strong vision of what I was going to find, piles and piles of messy printouts, in a typical Demeterish shambles. Not this. I shut the cupboard door and open it again, as though I might be able to perform a magic spell, but it's still clean and white and empty. Then I glance around the rest of Demeter's office with a looming feeling of dread. It's tidy. It's really tidy. There aren't any piles of anything anywhere. What's happened? I lean my head out of the door and give Hannah an easy smile. "It's really tidy in here. What's happened?"
"Oh, that was Sarah," says Hannah, still focused on her screen. "You know what she's like. Demeter went on holiday, so she was like, 'At last, I can clear out her office.'"
"But the cupboard's empty." I tried to say the words calmly. "That's where I left my stuff, but it's all gone."
I'm counting on Hannah not being curious enough to question why I left my stuff in Demeter's cupboard, and sure enough, she doesn't.
"Oh," she pulls a face and shrugs. "Sorry, no idea."
"So, does Sarah have a key to the cupboard?"
Yes," says Hannah vaguely. "She must do, because I saw her sorting it out yesterday. She chucked out a huge load of papers."
Hannah looks up, and I see her brain finally clicking in.
"Oh, God, was that your stuff?"
I stare back dumbly. A huge load of papers, chucked away. All the emails, all the evidence, gone. My throat is tight. I'm not sure I can breathe. What am I going to tell Demeter?
"Look, I'll tell Sarah you were here, and maybe she can sort it out."
"It's okay," I say hastily. "Don't bother Sarah."
"It's no bother. Or I could speak to Demeter."
Hannah lowers her voice.
"Actually, there's a rumor that Demeter's getting the chop."
"Wow." Somehow I'm managing to speak. "Well, I'll just have another quick search in Demeter's office just in case."
But after 10 minutes, I know. There's nothing here. No physical scraps of anything. Sarah must have been through it like a whirlwind. I can't stay here forever. I have to leave. I have to think. My chest feels compressed by panic as I walk out, down the stairs, out into the open air. A flashing from my phone catches my eye, and I see it's a new text from Demeter.
"How are you getting on?" Kiss.
I emit a tiny whimper. My legs are moving on autopilot. I'm her only hope right now. I can't tell her the plan is wrecked. I have to come up with something else. Go to the recycling bin and search? but it all gets taken away on Tuesday night. Get into Sarah's computer and find some evidence there. But how can I do that in front of Hannah? And how would I guess her password? Come on, Katie. Think. Think. And then it hits me. The blue bear. Sarah will be there right now. She might say something off guard. If I can just get her to chat, if I can just get her to relax and trust me. Gathering up all my resolve, I take out my phone and send a text to Demeter. Going a bit off-piste, kiss. Not that I have ever skied in my life. How could I afford to ski? But she'll get the reference. Immediately she sends back a reply. What? But I thrust my phone away and ignore it. I can't get into conversation now. I have to concentrate. As I enter the beery, noisy atmosphere of the Blue Bear, I see Rosa and Sarah standing at the bar, and my stomach swoops with nerves. Cat? Sarah notices me at once. Cat! Oh, my God! After all my conversations with Demeter, I'd started to imagine Sarah almost as a demon. But of course she's not. She's the same pretty Sarah, red hair tied back, blue eyes neatly lined, and white teeth flashing in a broad smile. Look, Rosa, it's Cat, she's saying. She holds out her arms wide, and so does Rosa, and the next minute we're all hugging like the oldest of friends. How are you? Sarah keeps saying. We've missed you. I feel a bit overwhelmed at their welcome. I thought everyone would have forgotten about me, but here they are, genuinely interested in me and my life, and it's, well, it's nice, even though Cat feels like an alien word now. What are you doing here? Rosa wants to know, and I shrug carelessly. I was in the area, and I remembered you always have drinks on a Wednesday. You never came to that, did you? Sarah gives me a sharp look. But we asked you. So, where are you working now? Rosa demands, and I feel a trickle of humiliation. I'm not. At least not in branding, not at the moment. I'm working in Somerset, on a farm. The aghast expressions on their faces would make me laugh if I didn't feel so mortified. I hadn't thought it would affect me so badly, me standing here with no job, while they still luxuriated in theirs. But it's not a great feeling. In fact, to be honest, if it weren't for Demeter, I'd probably make an excuse right now and leave. Cat, Rosa looks genuinely upset. That's terrible. You're really talented. Which Demeter never noticed, says Sarah. And squeezes my arm. Bitch. How is Demeter? I ask, trying to sound casual. Oh, my God. You don't know. A flicker of triumph runs over Sarah's face. She's been fired. No. I clap a hand over my mouth with a gasp. And actually, I am a bit shocked, because, of course, she hasn't been fired. Not properly. Not yet. But obviously the story is that she's gone. I know. Sarah flashes her little white teeth again. Isn't it great? Everything's going to change. Rosa's going to run the department like she should have done in the first place. She puts an arm round Rosa and gives her a hug. Well, Rosa gives a modest shrug. We don't know that. I'll be running it while they decide what to do. And then they'll give it to you, insists Sarah. You should always have got that job. There'll be a completely different atmosphere in the department. No more bloody drama. So, why was Demeter fired? I ask warily. Try everything, Sarah rolls her eyes. You know what she's like. Finally, Adrian was like, okay, I get it. She's a demented cow. She has to go. Hey, Rosa has been quiet, thinking hard. Cat, did you know that Flora's leaving? Really? I say in surprise. No, I had no idea. We kind of lost touch. Where's she going? Traveling. She's leaving in a month, so... She looks expectantly at me. So, how do you feel about applying for her job? I feel a bolt of disbelief. Applying for Flora's job? Oh, yes, Sarah exclaims in delight. Perfect idea. What a good thing you walked in here, Cat. It would be a better salary than you had before, says Rosa. I know you're up to it, Cat. I've seen your work, and I'll tell you something. I'm not like Demeter. I want to help people develop. You have a great future. You know that. There's a weird kind of humming in my head. Nothing feels quite real. A job, a better salary,
a great future. I mean, if Demeter didn't get her job back, if Rosa did want me to work for her, I have to give myself the best chance in life, don't I? I'm squirming inside. I feel like an octopus tied up in knots, being pulled in different directions. The barman has placed 3 glasses and a bottle of champagne on the bar, and Rosa pays for it, then turns to me. Come on, she says. Have a drink with us. We always go in that little back room. Flora's there already.
We don't always have champagne on Wednesdays, adds Sarah with a twinkle.
But ding-dong, the witch is dead!
In my pocket, my phone begins to buzz. It feels as if Demeter is nudging me, and instantly my brain snaps into place with a tweak of guilt. What have I been thinking? There aren't 2 options here. There's only 1. Do the right thing. I blink at Sarah and Rosa, trying to get my ideas straight, trying to find a way into the conversation.
You must have found it so difficult working for Demeter, I say to Sarah.
Did you ever feel like, I don't know, getting revenge in any tiny way?
Sarah gives me a clear blue look.
What do you mean?
My stomach flips at her expression. Has she guessed? No, she couldn't have done. But I need to prove I'm on her side, quick.
Well, you'll never believe it, I try to sound natural and chatty. But Demeter turned up at my family's farm on holiday. And I got my own back on her for everything. Look,
I wince inwardly as I reach for my phone. Demeter would really not be happy if she knew I was sharing a photo of her, all spread-eagled and muddy in the swamp. But, on the other hand, I can't think of a better way of gaining Sarah's trust.
No, exclaims Sarah as she sees it. That's priceless. We have to hear all about it. Will you send that picture to me?
Of course I will,
I answer lightly. Never in a million years.
You're quite something, Kat,
says Sarah as Rosa grabs the phone to have a look.
We could have done with your help.
She puts an arm around me and gives me a swift hug.
Let's go, says Rosa, and motions to me to pick up the glasses. Grab another one of those. Flora will be waiting.
It's one of those pubs with little rooms and passages and steps everywhere. We head down a shabby corridor painted dark red, with old prints of London views lining the walls. Then, at the end, Rosa opens a door into a small, bare-boarded room with squashy sofas and bookshelves holding old paperbacks.
Woo! Flora greets Rosa with a whoop and a fist pump. Champagne? About bloody right!
And look who we found in the bar, says Sarah, gesturing at me. Cat! Flora squeals and zooms over to wrap me in a hug. I've missed you! This is so cool!
Ding-dong, the witch is dead, exclaims Sarah again, popping open the bottle of champagne.
At last.
Here's to that, says Flora fervently.
And look what Kat has been getting up to. Sarah grabs my phone and shows Flora the picture of Demeter in the mud.
You didn't tell me you'd recruited a country branch of D.A.
Oh, my God! Flora's eyes widen. She bursts into peals of laughter.
Oh, my God! Kat, you're a genius.
D.A., I echo lightly.
What's that?
D.A.,
says Sarah, sounding puzzled.
You know.
Kat never knew, says Flora, handing me a champagne glass.
You never knew?
Sarah looks astonished.
But Flora said you were in.
Of course Kat was in, says Flora impatiently. She was totally in, only I never told her exactly what was going on.
She turns to me.
And then you got the push, that evil cow. Have you been okay? You haven't replied to my texts.
I've been fine, really.
So, what exactly has been going on? What's D.A.?
I meet Sarah's eyes and I can see her guard has dropped with me.
Demeter Anonymous, of course, she says with a laugh.
We share our terrible Demeter stories and help one another.
What did you think we were doing every Wednesday?
Flora gulps her champagne.
Honestly, we've needed this. Otherwise, we'd go insane.
The worst time was when she made Sarah cook those gross Chinese herbs. Rosa screws up her nose.
Do you remember?
The smell. I think that was before your time, Kat.
No,
Flora bats the air, her mouth full of champagne, then swallows and turns to me.
Dyeing the roots.
Oh, my God, the roots. Sarah claps a hand over her mouth. The roots, Rosa explodes. I'd forgotten about the roots. Cat, you win. Worst Amita story ever. She clinks her glass against mine, and I grin back as widely as I can, even though my mind is working frenetically. While Rosa is refreshing glasses, I take out my phone as though to check the text, press record, and slip the phone back into my pocket. So, what happened? I say innocently. How did Demeter get herself fired? All three of them exchange conspiratorial, triumphant looks.
Go on, says Flora to Sarah. Tell her. Sarah's brilliant, she adds to me. She got Demeter fired.
Flora clinks her glass against Sarah's.
Sarah's the star.
It was all of us, rejoins Sarah modestly. It was teamwork, and it's been a long time coming, hasn't it, Rosa?
Too long, says Rosa wryly.
Wow, I open my eyes wide. But how on earth could you, I mean... What happened? I think I heard about some muddle with Allison's.
Sarah's so clever, says Flora proudly. She sent Demeter all this wrong information so she wouldn't pursue the project, and then she made sure the Allison's people never got to speak to Demeter on the phone. Otherwise it would have come out. See? Brilliant.
I sent them the wrong mobile number.
Sarah gives me an angelic smile. And I always answer Demeter's phone in the office, so it was easy.
But the way you juggled all the emails, says Rosa. I still don't know how you did that.
Oh, Demeter's such a technological shambles, says Sarah. It's pathetically easy to fool her.
There's such a contemptuous flick to her voice that I'm quite shocked.
Sending the email to Forest Food, though, says Flora. That was genius.
Well, it was in her drafts folder, says Sarah, with a wicked little grin. I just helped it along.
Do you remember that, Cat?
Flora turns to me.
The email?
Just about, I force a grin back.
So, what actually happened?
Well, Demeter typed out this furious email, you know, letting off steam, and put it in drafts. So Sarah went to her computer and pressed send.
Flora collapses into giggles.
It took like 10 seconds. Demeter never even questioned whether she'd sent it or not.
Always know what's in your boss's drafts folder, says Sarah, with that one-cornered smile I remember.
I try to smile back, but I'm remembering Demeter's face at the time of the email, her white, panicky desperation. And here they all are, assuming that she doesn't have any feelings at all, toasting her misery in champagne. They've turned her into a monster. I think they have literally forgotten that she's a human being.
And did you mess with her calendar?
I say, forcing another bright smile.
Because she used to get so confused.
Oh, all the time.
Sarah picks up her phone and imitates Demeter right down to the swivelly-eyed look.
Shit, shit, I knew that meeting was on Friday. How has this happened? How has this happened?
She's so accurate, everyone bursts into laughter. But I'm feeling a kind of burning fury that I'm afraid is going to burst out any minute. How could they be so cruel?
But what if you got caught?
No chance, says Sarah smugly. I just deny it. There's no evidence, not one shred. I deleted all the fake emails off everything as soon as she'd seen them.
I have a sudden memory of Sarah grabbing Demeter's phone out of her hand and jabbing at it, managing everything, controlling everything.
As for the calendar stuff, Sarah shrugs. Her word against mine.
Everyone knows she's hopeless. Who would believe Demeter?
You could write a book, says Flora to Sarah.
How to get back at your bully boss.
You are brilliant, you know.
Everyone's been brilliant, says Sarah firmly.
Rosa, you were great with the Sensequo deadline. You totally landed her in it. And Flora, you've been feeding me information the whole time.
You have no idea, Cat, says Flora. It's been this team effort. It's been epic.
I can see that. Somehow I'm managing to sound pleasant. So, I suppose the only thing I don't get is, why?
Why?
Flora echoes blankly.
What do you mean, why? We had to get her fired. I mean, it's a health thing, right?
She looks at the others for affirmation.
I mean, we need therapy after having her as our boss.
Demeter is definitely bad for the health, says Sarah. She's a nightmare. Management just couldn't see it.
I know what we did was a bit extreme. Rosa seems to be the only one to have the slightest qualms. But it was going to happen anyway. I mean, Demeter can't run a department.
She's so scatty. She's all over the place.
We only accelerated what was inevitable, says Sarah crisply. It always should have been Rosa in that job.
But what about Demeter? I keep the same easy, unthreatening tone. What if you really messed her up? What if she thought she was getting dementia?
There's a slight silence. I can tell this thought has not crossed anyone's mind.
Oh, for God's sake, says Flora at last. This is Demeter we're talking about.
As though Demeter counts for nothing, has no rights, no viewpoint, is just some kind of subspecies.
I stare at her, feeling chilled. Don't say anything, I tell myself. Don't provoke them, just leave. But I already know I can't do that.
You called Demeter a bully, I say lightly. But actually, I never saw her bully anyone.
Yes, she did. Rosa gives a short laugh. You saw her? She was a nightmare.
No, she didn't. She used to assert herself, yes. And she was tactless, yes. But she didn't bully anyone.
I draw breath, trying to stay calm.
Yet, here you are, rounding up on her like some lynch mob.
Lynch mob?
Sarah sounds offended. Isn't that what you are?
For God's sake, Kat, says Flora, glaring at me. I thought you were signed up.
Signed up to what? Drumming someone out of a job by messing with their mind? Destroying someone's sanity?
Well, sorry if I'm boring, but no thanks. Look, Kat, snapped Rosa defensively. With all due respect, you left Cooper Clemo. You weren't there. You don't know what Demeter's like.
I do, I say curtly, and I take her as a boss over you any day. I stride to the door, my heart pumping, desperate to get away, but as I open it, I turn back and survey the aggressive, defensive faces.
You know the really sad thing? I admired you all so much. I wanted to be you, more than anything. But now I realize you're just a big bunch of bullies.
What? Rejoins Flora, sounding outraged. You heard me. Bullies.
I let the words sit in the air for a few seconds, then close the door. And now it's nearly an hour later. It didn't take long for Demeter and Alex to arrive in Chiswick, nor for them to join me in a little cafe, listen to my playback, and realize the truth. As the recording ended, none of us said a word. I felt quietly vindicated. Alex looked chastened, but Demeter looked properly shocked. In a way, it should have been a sweet victory for her. We should have been whooping. But how can you whoop when you've just learned that so many people are out to get you? At last, Alex drew breath and said,
Okay, let's take this to Adrian.
Yes, said Demeter, her tone strangely flat. Let's. And I didn't say anything, just got up with them from the table. That's where they are now, in with Adrian at the Cooper Clemo offices. I'm sitting outside Adrian's room in his private reception area, waiting for them. Adrian's assistant, Marie, is at her desk nearby, typing away. She looks pretty surprised as we all marched in, but she hasn't asked me a single question about it. She's discreet like that, Marie. I have no idea what's going on in there, but I can only imagine. And then, as I've almost drifted away into a trance, I hear my name being called.
Kat?
It's Kat. It's them. Rosa, Flora, and Sarah. They must have caught sight of me as they were on their way back in from lunch, and now they're all coming toward me, their expressions wary and hostile.
What are you doing here? Demands Flora accusingly as I get up from the sofa. Are you waiting for Adrian?
Are you talking to Adrian about Flora's job?
Rosa shakes her head.
Because that's not on. You shouldn't go over my head.
I give her a withering look. You're not running the department, so it's nothing to do with you.
She will be, says Sarah, loyally.
I doubt it, I retort, and Rosa draws breath in anger.
God, Cat, says Flora, shooting me a look of dislike. What is your problem?
What is my problem? And as if on cue, Adrian's door opens. As he steps out with Alex and Demeter, he looks profoundly shocked and upset. His iron-grey hair is rumpled, and his face is craggy, and he's saying,
It beggars belief. It fucking beggars belief.
He breaks off as he sees Rosa, Sarah, and Flora all standing there before him, and his face becomes even craggier. His eyebrows draw together, and for an instant I think he's going to bellow. But instead, he looks levelly at each of them in turn and says,
We're going to talk. Don't go back to your desks, any of you. Stay here.
He gestures to the seats in the reception area, then turns to Marie.
Clear the rest of my day.
Of course, she says in that unflappable way she has, and picks up the phone. Rosa is staring at me in sudden, startled comprehension. Her face has gone a bit green, and I almost feel sorry for her. Almost. Flora is gaping at Demeter as though she's come back from the dead. Sarah is still baring her teeth in that defiant way she has, but I can see a twitch at her eye, and her hands have started to clasp and unclasp. I have no idea what she's thinking right now, and you know what? I don't care. I turn away from the little group to Demeter, who's looking a bit shell-shocked and sheeny-eyed after her meeting.
Are you okay?
I murmur.
I'm fine. Or at least, I will be fine.
She closes her eyes briefly.
Katie, I don't know what to say. You're amazing. If it weren't for you, I mean, come here.
Demeter pulls me into an impassioned hug.
Thank you,
she says into my ear.
Thank you a million times over.
As we draw apart, I can see Flora staring at the pair of us, flabbergasted. Unlike the other two, she doesn't look properly scared yet. I don't think it's quite dawned on her fully what's happening.
I don't get it, she blurts out. Are you two friends? Have you been friends all this time?
Well, not exactly friends, I say, just as Demeter says. We've had our ups and downs. I have a flashback to Demeter groveling around the swamp, covered with gloop and nettle stings. I glance at her, and I can tell she's having a similar memory.
I think our shared love of yoga really bonded us, Demeter adds, deadpan. If you can call it yoga.
She raises her eyebrows at me, and I don't want to start laughing, but I just can't help it. The more I think about what I put Demeter through, the sack, the stones, sweeping out the stable, the more my stomach heaves. I'm sorry, I gasp. I'm so sorry, Demeter. I can't believe I did all that.
Nor can I, says Demeter,
as she suddenly erupts as well. As I catch sight of Flora, she looks even more gobsmacked than before.
Demeter and I have to talk, Alex says, coming over. But then we both want to buy you the biggest drink you can consume without actually being poisoned. Meet you back here in an hour.
Great, I nod, trying to ignore the gazes of Flora, Rosa, and Sarah.
See you then. And again, thanks, Katie.
Demeter grabs my hands for a final squeeze.
Thank you so much.
You still can't get her bloody name right, can you?
Says Sarah, and I wheel round in surprise. Sarah is gazing at Demeter, trembling with contempt and defiance, even now.
It's Cat.
No, it's not, Sarah. I flicker the most cutting look I can muster.
It's Katie.
I stare past the lot of them, my head high, and feel a lightness take hold of me as soon as I get out of their toxic atmosphere. As I reach the glass doors, it's as if a delayed reaction hits me.
It's all good. We've done it. Demeter's vindicated.
I practically skip down the steps to the street, a huge smile licking across my face. I'm wondering how to fill the hour till I see Demeter and Alex again, and already looking forward to our drink,
when my phone buzzes with some new message or other. As I pull it out, I wonder, half hope, if Demeter's already summoning me back to the office. But it's not from Demeter. It's from a digital branding agency called Broth, which I applied to weeks ago. My breath catches as I fumble to open the email and skim the words. Dear Miss Brenner, recent application for the post of Junior Associate. Impressed by your application and would like to discuss this further. Please call to arrange an interview. And I stand transfixed, clutching my phone, my blood dancing in my veins. An interview. An actual interview. Oh, my God! Chapter 22. I start next month. The salary's pretty much what I was on before, and the offices are in Marylebone. And I'm thinking about living somewhere west this time. I've been looking in Hanwell, which is quite cheap. They were really friendly, the two women who interviewed me. They loved my portfolio and said I had to join their pub quiz team. It's a great place to work. I can tell that already. And they phoned to offer me the job while I was on the train back home. They really want me. I've got everything I ever wanted. So I don't know why I don't feel more euphoric. Okay, full disclosure. I know exactly why I don't feel more euphoric. First of all, 2 weeks have passed, but I haven't seen Alex since we were in London together. After that extraordinary, heady day, I ended up staying the night at his place, and it was so exactly what I'd always dreamed of that I felt like I must have taken some mind-altering drug. He lives in this big, light flat in Battersea, with a balcony and a view of the river. If you lean over the balustrade to look... And we had sex all night with all of London's lights twinkling along as accompaniment. And then we had the perfect morning after breakfast of croissants and more sex. And then he said he'd call, but... Okay, stop. I am not going to be that person, nor am I going to tot up how many times I've texted Alex. 5. Or how many times he's texted me in return. 1. And anyway... This isn't all about him. The honest truth is that it's not just Alex who's left me feeling a little bit small and disappointed. It's Demeter. She, unlike Alex, has been good at keeping in touch. We've spoken on the phone nearly every day, in fact, but her reactions have been a bit weird. I thought when I told her about my new job, she'd be delighted for me, but she's been all prickly. She even said at first I shouldn't take the job, as she was sure I could do better. What? Is she nuts? Then she backtracked and said, No, you have to take it. Then she fired a whole load of questions at me about the job and exactly what my deal was, then seemed to lose interest. We haven't really talked about it the last few days. And all the time there's this big, unanswered question which, every time I think about it, makes me feel a bit hollow. Why didn't she offer me a job? She could have done. I mean, they need new staff. It's been carnage at Cooper Clemo since it all came out. Sarah's been fired, Rosa's been fired, Flora was leaving to travel anyway, so she wasn't fired, but she won't get a reference. None of them will get references, in fact, which means they'll find it very, very hard to find work now. Although, that's better than prosecution, which is what it could have been, should have been. They deserve it, especially Sarah, and I've told Demeter so loads of times. Sometimes I think I'm more angry about what happened than she is. I'd love to see Sarah standing in the dock, weeping into her retro print hanky, mascara smeared everywhere. But Demeter's decided that she's not going to press charges. Her point of view is that sometimes you have to be pragmatic. She doesn't want the whole story coming out in the press. She doesn't want to testify in court. She doesn't want to become known as the woman whose staff stitched her up. She wants to move on. And Adrian is willing to support her, whatever she decides. So, case closed. Demeter did take the rest of the department out to lunch, though, and explain a few things. She told Mark that she'd nominated him for the Style Sign Award. She explained that Rosa never had been selected for the Mayor's project. She apologized for being scatty and tactless. Then she explained exactly why the other three had been fired. Apparently there was stunned silence, for a full 3 minutes. I wish I'd been there. So,
The department is up and running again, apparently much more happily than before. But it has some holes in it now, obviously. I don't know what they're doing about it, nor can I bring myself to ask. Anyway, who cares? I have a job, a fab job. There's no point feeling hurt by Demeter. Or Alex. I have more important things to do, like training up Denise to take my place here. Okay, let's try again. I adopt a wide-eyed glamper's expression. Hello, we've just arrived. Is this Anstis Farm? I'm in the kitchen, doing some role-play with Denise, who needs a bit of work on the charm side of things.
Course it's Anstis Farm, Denise responds flatly. Says so on the sign.
No, don't say that. Just say,
yes, it is. Well done. Well done. For coming on holiday, says Denise sardonically, but I ignore her.
Okay, now smile. Say something like, what a lovely dog.
Them ones with dogs are the worst, counters Denise. Bloody pain they are.
Well, they pay your wages, so smile and pat the dog. Got it?
Fine, explodes Denise. What a beautiful dog, she says in syrupy tones, an unnerving smile on her face. We can't wait to welcome your wonderful dog. In fact, we love him already, on account of him being so marvellous. See, I can do it, she adds with a sniff. Now, can I get on with my cleaning?
I give an inward grin. I think she'll rise to the challenge. How's it going?
Biddy comes into the kitchen holding a bundle of carrots from the garden, and I feel a familiar wave of guilt run through me. It happens every time I see Dad or Biddy, i.e. about 100 times a day. Not that I let on. Biddy won't allow me to feel guilty for a moment, not a sliver of a moment. The minute I started saying how bad I felt at leaving them, she got quite cross.
We are so, so proud of you, she said, clutching my hands. You've given us so much, Katie. Without you, we'd have none of this, none of it. You've done your bit, my love. Now, you go and follow your dreams. You deserve it. And I know she means it. But it's another reason I don't feel as euphoric as I expected. I love this place. Maybe I'm allowing myself to love it more now. I'm proud of the business, of Dad and his Farmer Mick outfit, of the yurts all lit up by lanterns at night. Anstis Farm has turned into such a thing. It's going to be hard to leave.
Do you need help with those? I say to Biddy, nodding at the carrots. And I'm just rolling up my sleeves when I hear a voice behind me that makes me think I'm hallucinating.
Hi, Katie.
Is that Alex?
Katie! Oh, good! You're here! Another voice greets me, and I blink. Demeter! I whip round, and I'm not hallucinating. They're both here in Somerset, standing in the kitchen doorway. Demeter's wearing one of her edgy London outfits, and Alex has had a haircut, I dimly notice. I'm so flummoxed, I can barely speak.
What? I look from face to face. What are you doing here?
Alex grins.
As ever, you get straight to the point. It was Demeter's idea, so blame her. We could have just got on the phone.
Katie deserves more than a phone call, says Demeter.
You wanted an excuse to come down here again and eat Biddy's scones, Alex prods Demeter on the shoulder. Admit it. We both did.
Maybe, says Demeter, starting to laugh. But what are you doing here? I try again.
Right, says Demeter.
Let me do this properly, she says mock reprovingly to Alex. No interruptions. Then she turns back to me. Katie, I've been talking to Adrian about you, and we would very much like it if you would come to Cooper Clemo for an interview.
My mouth falls open. I try to frame some sensible words, but they're not coming out properly.
Please, Alex nudges Demeter. You didn't say please. No manners.
I've got a job already, I manage.
With broth, Alex nods. Don't worry, those guys owe me one. We'll sort it out if need be. You haven't signed anything yet?
No, not yet. Great, says Demeter crisply. As you know, we have some gaps to fill at Cooper Clemo, and we're hoping to lure you into one of them, subject to your impressing Adrian, which you most certainly will. Please, she adds, and gives me one of her sudden radiant smiles.
"You're fighting them off," exclaims Dad, coming into the kitchen. "You go, Katie girl." "Mick," Alex greets him in delight. "Mick, I've missed you. How are the wigwams?"
"Not so good,"